Welcome to Uber UK's Driver Podcast, Behind the Wheel, hosted by Tabrez Hussain, a Birmingham-based driver with over 10,000 trips. Every episode, Tabrez talks to Uber employees on the topics you care most about, answers some of your burning questions in true or false, and tells us some incredible stories from drivers as part of the Uber Kindness program. Enjoy today's episode. Happy listening and happy driving. Behind the Wheel from Uber UK.
Welcome back to Behind the Wheel, a podcast brought to you by Uber. As always, I'm your host, Tabrez Hussain. Thank you for listening. I just want to start with thanking everybody for their submissions and suggestions via our email address. Please do keep your suggestions coming in. On this episode, we were looking at a topic which I think needed addressing, and it's good to have an insight. It's about driver earnings and how we can enhance our earnings and opportunities. I'm delighted on this episode to be joined by Neil. Neil is Head of Driver Operations at Uber UK. Neil, how are you?
I'm great, Tabrez. Great to be here.
Thank you for taking your time out and joining us here. Neil, I'll throw it over to you. Just an insight and a little introduction to yourself, please.
Yeah, so I started with Uber back in June 2015. So I've been with the company about 8.5 years now. Originally, that was to launch it up in Liverpool. Maybe to tell from the accent.
Yeah.
But spending more time down in London these days, I head up what we call driver operations. So that's everything from before a driver joins the platform, maybe helping them through getting the license, obviously getting them onto to Uber, all of their experience while they're with Uber. It covers things like our relationship with GMB, the union, our mission to support drivers into an electric vehicle, and the amazing team who you know well and work with well, who put the likes of this podcast together and look after all of the driver engagement. So that's the bit of the business that I'm responsible for.
A little bird tells me that you've got a license and you've actually been taking trips with Uber.
I have not quite taken trips yet. So I've got my I've had my driver license a little while.
Yeah.
I finally got my vehicle plated this week. I'm actually waiting for a call back from, I won't name the insurance company. I don't know if I'm allowed to advertise.
No, we're not allowed to.
There are an insurance company that are going to call me back today too. Just get me covered in place, and I'm hoping Friday to be taking my first trip. Long overdue, but looking forward to
it. What actually made you do that?
You know what? It's going right back to the beginning. There were drivers up in Liverpool. They were always saying, when are you going to get on Uber, Neil? When are you going to do it? When are you going to get your badge? And we always joked about it, and don't think you ever thought I would do it. And it was something I was always keen on, but it was just finding the time to get me licensed. Particularly in Liverpool, you've got to do what they call a VRQ, vocational related qualification, which takes a few days. So it's just taken me 8 years until now, but I am really excited about the prospect.
I think that's interesting that you've actually decided to come on board and obviously drive with Uber, because what you'll see is a different narrative of what's on the road, because it's easier sitting behind a computer or a desk and just looking at figures and amounts or trying to say, oh, we're going to implement this. But until you're actually on the road, you get a better understanding.
Exactly.
You kind of perceive it and see it from a different angle, which I think is imperative. And I think that knowledge will kind of benefit you in a way where you could look at different things that you want to implement and suggestions. And hopefully, you know, going forward, we can improve things.
Exactly, to be easy. I think that, you know, there's a couple of ways I could see that playing out. One is just, you know, being in that environment with a passenger or passengers and some of the kind of interpersonal situations that a driver will face and how you deal with them, and that's part of it. And then I think the other big part is the app itself.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's all very well sat behind a desk and looking at feedback and thinking about the design of the app and how drivers use the app. But I'm really keen to get out there and actually see it and feel it and use it for myself.
Behind the Wheel from Uber UK.
So now, Neil, let's just discuss these 2 months, January and February, where, I mean, everywhere, whether it's a shop, it's a restaurant, a pub, a club, every industry, it's quiet time, it's downtime. Everyone's had an amazing Christmas and New Year, spent all their money, and we find this time of year it's really quiet. You agree with that, yes?
I do. I mean, they call it kipper season, is what it's referred to within the industry in certain places. It's always made me curious why they call it kipper season,
well,
apparently.
On the road, we call it dry January.
Dry January.
Yeah.
For a slightly different version of dry January than I might partake in. And it is, I guess it is just, you know, part of the seasonal nature of the business in terms of January and February, whether you call it kipper season, dry January or whatever, being a little bit quieter, those that have been in the trade for a while will recognise that. Might be a little bit more of a surprise to people who are new to the industry. But there is, you know, there's still demand out there and there's still opportunities to make money. And that's what I think we can kind of focus on today in terms of some of those tips, some of those techniques that the drivers can use to kind of maximise their earnings.
That's correct. I think it was interesting the back of last year where an email was sent out kind of letting drivers know to expect demand to be decreased. And that was probably the first time I saw an email as such. And for a lot of drivers, that was alarming and concerning. What was the reason for the email to be sent out? What were we trying to get the drivers to understand?
I think a couple of things. I think, as I said there, I don't think it'll be any surprise to any tenured drivers. Any drivers who've been in the industry at least a couple of years will know that things got quiet at that time of the year. And as you said, Tabriz, it's not just the taxi industry. It is shops, pubs, restaurants. There's a reason lots of restaurants will do 50% off. So I think that the reason for doing that were twofold. It was one, just to give drivers, particularly those new to the industry, a bit of a heads up that you will be entering a quieter time after Christmas. If drivers are thinking about taking a bit of time off the road, that's generally a good time to take off the road. But equally, to make sure that, you know, the opposite of that is the back end of November into December are really, really busy. It's peak demand. People are Christmas parties, Christmas shopping, socialising, etc. That's when there's real, real strong earning opportunity. So equally, it's saying to drivers, look, planning ahead for what will be a slightly quieter January, February, now is the time to get out there and to maximise the earning opportunities that will be super strong in that run-up to Christmas.
Without giving my age away, I've been in this industry a long time.
Yeah.
And one thing I have noticed from an early part of my involvement in this industry is that January and February, generally, a lot of drivers do have the time off.
Yeah.
They take long breaks, whether it's, you know, going on holiday or whether it's spending some quality time with friends and family or generally just having a break from driving.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, part of the beauty of the industry and particularly Uber, as well as having that flexibility and being able to take the time off, take the break as much or as little as you want when you want to take it. But I think, you know, even, you know, setting aside that, you know, seasonal drop in demand we see, there is still, you know, work out there. There's still earning opportunities. I think, you know, the way we think about it is, you know, drivers will all have their own tactics, strategies for, you know, how to maximise their earnings, particularly those who've been in the trade a little while. Would never want to kind of try to teach any drivers how to suck eggs, but equally there are, you know, some techniques, some tips we'd have in mind in terms of the way we think about it is, you know, when to drive, where to drive and what to drive. And they can equally have an impact on your earnings opportunity, whatever time of year you're out there on the road.
So now you've walked into this. So I'm going to ask you, how can we, as Uber drivers, remain busy during this time?
So I think there's a few things. Firstly, in terms of the where, there will still be peak periods, busy periods, even, you know, during those, you know, cold, dark, quieter weeks during January and February. So I think, you know, use your own intuition of the city, but particularly if you're a newer driver, use the likes of the earnings trend functionality within the app, which will show what are the kind of busier periods within your city. So, you know, that might be rush hour. It might still be, you know, Friday, Saturday night or student night to a degree. But there might equally be times that would surprise you, either that you didn't realise that would be busy or that you thought would be busy but aren't so much. So I think using that information, that data is, you know, real time within the app. It's based on the last 28 days. That can give you a good sense of when to drive and when to be on the road and to be out there. And look, I know it comes back to the flexibility. I think the good thing about Uber, one of the great things about Uber, is it gives you the flexibility to be on the road whenever you want to be on the road.
Yeah.
Appreciate that not all drivers can work all hours. They might have, you know, childcare commitments. There might be other reasons they can't be out there at certain hours. But even in January, February, if you get out at the peak times, that's when you're going to earn the money quicker.
I think on the road, we have a group of two different drivers. One group are out there to earn a certain amount.
Yeah.
And the other group are out there to do a certain amount of hours, whether that be 8, 10 hours. So there is like a tactic behind how each driver goes about working.
Yeah.
Some of them will be out for a certain amount of hours. Some will be out earning a certain amount. And I think for the newer drivers, it's important to differentiate between the two and which category you want to fall into. So that's important. And also, over this time, for the customers, will they be seeing more promotions, more discounts and things like that?
Yeah, we're often looking at the demand side and, you know, making sure that particularly with its promotions, incentives around the price, and making sure that we're encouraging demand, encouraging riders out there. I think, you know, another thing we didn't touch on then, but you'll know this, I haven't been in the game for quite a while, to Braze, is the weather. I mean, that's not something you can predict for, yeah, but it is the kind of thing that will have, as you'll know, a big impact on demand. And will, you know, will cause more people to look to use Uber. So again, it's about drivers being savvy about that and making the most of those opportunities. I think beyond that, what we're looking to do on the rider side, well, it's some of those. One of the products we know drivers have really enjoyed is the likes of Uber Reserve, that A, gives them a bit of certainty, I guess, in terms of the jobs that they're signing up for. As you'll know, have you done any Uber Reserve jobs yourself?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So, you know, they're quite lucrative jobs as well. They're well paid. And that's something, A, we've looked to push more recently in terms of the advertising of it, but also making sure that it's available in as many cities. I think it's pretty much everywhere now. I think Stoke was the latest city we launched Reserve in. So again, it's trying to make sure that we're pushing those new use cases that not only give the drivers the certainty of the demand, but also the more lucrative trips when they're actually taking them.
I think over these 2 months, how I tend to work is I do the two rush hours and that's it.
Yeah.
Because I know in between it's going to be really quiet, as expected.
Yeah.
But within the two rush hours, you know you're going to make a decent amount of money. But to work the two rush hours and combine them as one shift, I think that works for me. Different things, like I said, you work for different people. But for me, that works. And also earning trends. I've used that previously and it's helped me kind of enhance my earnings over a quieter period. And it's something that I look forward to. And also, like you just said, opportunities and like reserve jobs, especially in football.
Exactly.
Match day.
The football games, the concerts, maybe a big conference or something. That's, and as you say, the opportunities area within the app is the other place to go to that maybe just encourage drivers to mix up, not just when they're going online. It's interesting here in your kind of almost split shift pattern there between the two rush hours, but where you drive as well.
That's,
I mean, airports is
a
kind of really interesting one, particularly maybe, you know, thinking about where we are now, February half term, and that you can find that airports can have patterns of demand that are quite different to the rush hour pattern of demand you might see in a city centre. So typically, you know, certainly for flights coming in, you're talking early morning, late at night. Public transport isn't so much an option. Again, around the half term, a lot of people may be coming back from, you know, ski trips or whatever it might be. So I think airports is another thing. Again, drivers can tap on the airport within the app and it'll give them a real-time feel for how busy it is. And if you've not tried doing an airport one before, you know, again, they tend to be more lucrative jobs, longer jobs. So again, I think it's, my advice would be, and this is not having yet taken any trips myself, but I'm very keen to do so soon. But my advice to drivers will be to kind of, you know, change things up a little bit and just experiment with different places, different times to drive within their city.
That's excellent. I think that, great advice there. And I'll definitely be taking a lot of that on board myself. And I hope the listeners will also.
Yeah.
So obviously, over a quieter period, do you think it's important, the vehicle you drive, for instance?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, that ultimately, the vehicle you're driving and the cost associated with that vehicle is going to have a, you know, a big impact on, you know, what a driver is earning and what's hitting their pocket at the end of the week. I think there's a couple of things in there. One would be, you know, I think for drivers to seriously consider an electric vehicle, it might not be right for all drivers in all situations in all cities right now, but certainly drivers who've got the ability to kind of home charge, if you're in an electric vehicle, you're able to charge maybe a lot cheaper than what it costs you to fill the vehicle with petrol. I think we're increasingly seeing running an electric vehicle, driving an electric vehicle can be a more efficient, a more economical way of driving and of making money. I think, you know, beyond EVs, it's thinking about, you know, the vehicle that you're in and what additional products that might allow you to drive on. So it could be, you know, XL, Exec, Uber Comfort, etc. And also thinking about, you know, making sure drivers are making the most of the benefits that are available to them through Uber Pro, which again will have a direct impact on the cost base. So that could be, you know, fuel discount with BP. We just late last year announced a new deal with BP Pulse. Again, for any drivers that are in an EV, kind of market leading charging rates. You've got the likes of AA cover and reduced MOTs and that type of thing. So again, just make sure there's money on the table here for drivers in terms of the discounts and the offers available through Uber Pro. Again, I'd say to drivers, make sure you're maximising that to minimise your outgoings, which at the end of the day is also going to help you make more money in the long run.
Good insight there.
True or false?
So now we're moving on to a favourite segment of mine. It's called True or False. I read out a statement or a question and you tell me whether it's true or false. And this is something that's on my mind, and I'm split here. I don't know whether it's true or false. Uber uses fake surcharges. True or false?
That is definitely false. It is one of those urban myths that I've heard many times over the years. I think maybe more so recently, and again, that's, I think, you know, a reflection of drivers not seeing as much surge as they might have been used to before. I think, firstly, the question on, you know, is there such a thing as fake surge? Absolutely false. That there's no incentive for us to be encouraging drivers into areas where there is no demand. And that's what surge is all about. It's about making sure that, you know, the areas that we have got too much demand, not enough drivers, how do we get more drivers in there? Yeah. So there would be no point in us doing that. What you might see at times is, because it's very dynamic, it's very real time, it is looking real time at the situation in terms of how many people are looking for Ubers and how many drivers are available. So you might see, if you look in the app and you see that it's surging in a certain area, you might find by the time you get there, then other drivers have basically beaten you to it, and that demand has dissipated, and therefore it's not surging anymore. But the concept of being fake surge, you know, absolutely not. It was picked up on the roadshow last year. We were asked about it, and I think partly that's just the time of year. You know, talked about, you know, compared to November, December, huge demand, you know, lots of surge, really, really busy period. You will naturally see less of it now because of the time of year. I think as much as the drivers love surge, riders probably think of it the opposite, that they don't like, they begrudge paying higher prices. Yeah. The sophistication we have with the pricing now allows us to, you know, bump the prices up in the areas at the times when we know it's going to be busy, we'll need to attract more drivers in. But in general, I think it being less explicit for riders in terms of flashing up on the app that we're, you know, you're charging them 1.5, 1.6, 1.8 more, that in itself can be counterintuitive, because over time, riders can get, you know, feel like they've been a little bit ripped off, and it could encourage them to leave the platform. And that's not good for, you know, for any of us.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So definitely no fake surge, I can assure you on that one.
That's a good insight. So basically what we're saying is there is no such thing as a fake surge.
Uber kindness.
So Neil, now we move on to Uber kindness. Each episode, we look at a story or an incident that took place where a driver has gone above and beyond. On this episode, we're looking at Mohammed, a driver from Leeds, with a rating of 4.99, and he's managed to accumulate over 12,000 trips with Uber. So Mohammed received a job, and when he got to the pickup point, the customer got into the car and notified him that his car had just been stolen. So Mohammed advised the customer to report it to the police. But whilst taking the journey to the destination, he was looking out for the car.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really interesting. He was looking out for the car whilst taking the customer to the destination. Wow. At the same time, the customer's on the phone to the police. So Mohammed helped him to log a report, and on the way, looking for the car, when he got to the destination, the customer was so thankful that they've actually emailed this in, and I'm about to read this. The customer has said about Mohammed is, "The driver is an absolute hero. He protected me and acted with the highest level of professionalism. I don't want his efforts to go unnoticed." And that's why today we're speaking about him. He's done a great job. Hats off to you, sir. You definitely went above and beyond.
Definitely fair play, Mohammed. I mean, it's lovely hearing these stories, drivers, you say, going above and beyond, but I've never heard one quite like that in terms of tracking down a stolen vehicle. So brilliant, really well done, Mohammed.
I think we need more people like Mohammed, not just with Uber, but generally in the world.
Just a great corporate citizen kind of thing, absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you, Neil, for joining us, taking your valuable time out and being here today, because I know you're a busy man, a lot going on behind the scenes, and it's been really good to have you here. Before I let you go.
Go on.
What are you going to rate my show out of 5?
I'll give you a 5, mate. If you'd have me back, I was going to say, finally get behind the wheel myself, if you pardon the pun, it'd be great to
definitely going to have you back.
Catch up.
Definitely going to have you back. It's been lovely. I hope everyone's enjoyed it as much as I have. Looking forward to the coming months. All that's left for me to say is drive safe, everybody. Drive safe.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Wheel by Uber UK.